So the streets of Jerusalem were uncommonly busy on this particular day as pilgrims were in town from all over the country for one of the most important of all of the festivals of the Jewish people. It was the Feast of Booths. It was a time when people came from all over the country to gather together in Jerusalem and to do what the Jewish community does better than anyone, to remember. They're gathered together in a variety of different places, and they're remembering events that took place centuries earlier, but that are so important to them that they're as though they took place right now. And they're recalling the time when Moses and the children of Israel were wandering across the wilderness, and the time when they were praying for God's guidance and deliverance as they were going from Egypt toward the Promised Land, a journey that would take them 40 years. And they're remembering now as they're gathered together in Jerusalem, this time when Moses and the children of Israel were making their way across the desert and God showed himself to be faithful again and again and again. And as they're gathered together in the Feast of Booths in Jerusalem, there's one thing that is on their mind of utmost importance, water. You see, this is a season in Jerusalem, September, October is when this takes place. This is a season in Jerusalem which is particularly dry and in which the people of God are praying continuously for the provision of rain. They're remembering the way God brought water from the rock in the wilderness with Moses and the children of Israel. And they're praying for rain now because the early rains in this season predict the coming of later rains, which will be crucial to their survival. For them, this is not a matter of something to play in their little swimming pools out in the backyard. For them, this is life and death. And it's the last day now of the Feast of Booths. The children of Israel are gathered together at the fountain of Gihon, which they always do every year on the last day of the feast. They gather around the fountain of Gihon. The priests lead them there to this place where they gather around this water supply for the city of Jerusalem. And they read scripture together and they pray, and they pray earnestly, and they ask the Lord to provide water for the people. They've done this for decades now as they pray together for this one element that is absolutely crucial to life. And it is in this moment, as they're gathered around the pool or the fountain of Gihon, it is at this moment that Jesus stands up and says, with a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Now, it's one thing to say things like that if you're standing at the edge of Lake Michigan, looking out over this enormous expanse of fresh water with your feet in the lake. Strike that, it's a little cold for that. With your feet just outside of the lake. It's another thing altogether to be standing in a place where people are literally thirsting and where they know that their lives depend upon the provision of water for this world. Now, in the Gospel of John, words often have a double meaning. Jesus might speak about bread, but what he's really speaking of is the bread of life. On another occasion, he might be speaking about a birth, but what he's really speaking about is a new birth. On this occasion, Jesus is speaking about being thirsty, and he's speaking about being thirsty. Do you know the difference? He's talking about being thirsty, but he's talking about being thirsty. Sometimes we will say what Jesus was talking about on this occasion was spiritual thirst, but I don't think that actually gets broad enough or big enough to capture all that Jesus meant here. He is talking about whole being thirsting that goes on in people's life. He's talking about people who are politically thirsty because they live in unjust systems and their lives are minimized because of the things that rulers do to them. Jesus is speaking to people who are economically thirsty. Some of them are so terribly poor, they wonder from day to day where the sustenance for tomorrow is going to come from. He's talking to people who are spiritually thirsty too, yes, oh yes. People who are longing for God. As Pastor Jennifer said a moment ago, people who could resonate with David's words, "As the deer longs for living water, so my soul longs for you, O God." And it is to people like this that Jesus is speaking when they've got water on their mind. If anybody is thirsty, if anybody is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. And out of the innermost part of their being will flow rivers of living water. Powerful words. So several months ago, I was out on a run one afternoon, and it just so happened that this particular run took me past Republic High School. Now, sometimes when I run, I am very awake and alert to what's going on around me, and sometimes when I run, I kind of go into an automatic pilot. Those are the days that I come back with bruises all over me. And this particular day, I was on automatic pilot as I ran past Republic High School. I wasn't really aware of where I was. I was just simply running along. I'd gotten past the high school. I was maybe a quarter of a block past the high school when I heard the students yell at me, "Run, Forrest, run!" Now, this isn't the first time. These students have had some fun with me on a variety of occasions, even though they don't know me. Just they've seen me running by on a variety of occasions. One time I was running by in my running shorts with, you must know, the palest legs in the history of the world. And they said something about, "Oh, dim the light." But today, I'm running past, and the students yell, "Run, Forrest, run." And so I stopped. I'm about a quarter of a block past them. I stopped, and I yelled back, "Well, at least one of you could do is come carry me." And this student, this young man, leaves the group, runs across the intersection, runs down the block to the place I am, and he says, "Here I am." I wasn't exactly sure what to do with that, so I just stood there and chatted with him for a moment. And then this thought came to my mind, and it's true. I said to him, "You know, sometimes when I run past your high school, I pray for you guys." He said, "You know, they're closing our school." I said, "Yes, I did know that. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep praying for you when I run by, even though you're not here. This school will be a reminder to me to pray for you and your friends." And very earnestly, very genuinely, this young man said, "Thank you. Thank you." I've thought about that several times since that day, and I've wondered what was behind that little incident. And I think what was behind that little incident was thirsting. I think what was behind that little incident was a young man who is thirsty and who is willing to open up to an imperfect stranger and share something of his concern in a little tiny moment of a little tiny day back in the winter months. I believe that we are living in incredibly thirsty times. You know, at first glance, you may not know that about our country and our culture. You may not notice that about us at first glance. I read recently a poll, I believe it was a Gallup poll, that said that that two-thirds of Americans believe that religion is not as important in the United States as it used to be. Two-thirds of Americans believe that it's not as important as it used to be. I also read a poll that said that one-third of young men and women 30 years of age and younger no longer declare any religious affiliation, nothing. They don't declare themselves as Protestant or Catholic or Jewish or anything else. One-third of those 30 and younger don't declare any religious affiliation at all. These are numbers that are staggering compared to previous generations. But I think those numbers actually belie something very, very different. I think those numbers belie a tremendous thirsting that is going on right now. But you see, people aren't thirsty for religion. And they're certainly not thirsty for religious institutions. People are thirsty, I believe, for something genuine, authentic, real, some living water, I believe. We see that because of all the different directions that people are going today. Have you noticed? Never before have we had so many options available to us. You can go to a yoga class on Monday, and you can go to a meditation class on Tuesday. By the way, I'm not putting any of these down. You can go to a self-help group on Wednesday. On Thursday, you can do something by yourself. On Friday, you can go study Eastern mysticism. On Saturday, you could do something different. And on Sunday, you can go to a church. You can do all of it. And right now, it is all just boiling over because Americans are hungry, and we right here in our our community, we're thirsty. We're longing for something. We're not just wanting anything. We want something that is genuine and something that is authentic and something that is real. I believe we also see this by the sudden explosion of our addictions. Have you noticed? Apparently, beneath the pile of all of our possessions and our wealth and all of our toys and all of our electronics and all of our gadgets, beneath all of this, there's some deep thirsting going on, because counselors are telling us that addictions are growing and spreading by the day. There are all the tried and true ones, the drugs and the alcohol and the sex and the gambling, those that we've heard of. Now they're talking about our addictions to adrenaline and people who are addicted to stress. Yes, people who are addicted to stress. And they're talking about people who are addicted to religion, and they're talking about people who are addicted to pornography, and the list of things that counselors are recognizing today as addictions are greater than they've ever been, this enormous swath of them. And I wonder what all of that says. What I've come to believe is that what it says is that we are a deeply, deeply thirsty people. And Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. You see, it's a great thing to be thirsty. This is not a judgment. This is not something of which people should be ashamed. It's a great thing to be thirsty. Did you know that on another occasion, Jesus said, blessed, fortunate, favored are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's not a bad thing to be thirsty. It's a fabulous thing to be thirsty, because being thirsty can lead you to something that is genuine and authentic and real and true. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me, let them drink. And as the scripture says, whoever believes in me, out of the innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So some of you will remember this old, I believe it was a Lipton commercial. It showed this group of people on a very, very hot day, and they look really thirsty. And one of them takes a great big glass of Lipton iced tea, and as she does, she's standing at the edge of the pool, and she just falls backward as she's drinking this into this pool of water. Well, this is not that. Because see, that is a picture of self-indulgence. It's all about me. Jesus said, whoever drinks, whoever believes in me, out of their inmost being will flow rivers of living water. And he said this about the way those who drink from him will influence those around them. We know this, that Jesus was talking about the expanding out of the circles of love. We know this because centuries earlier, the prophet Zechariah had spoken these words, words that were read every year in this place, at this little fountain of Gihon, during the festival of booths. Every year, the priests read these words from the prophet Zechariah. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth on that day. There will be one Lord, and his name, the only name. Jesus is talking about people who have drunk from him, who then go out to others in his name. You see, there's a drinking that takes place, but it is not a drinking that is held to oneself. Margaret, you look like you're a little bit parched this morning. What Jesus is describing is a drinking that takes place that then spreads out to others. When I noticed that your brother got a drink of water earlier this morning, I wonder if you might need one too, maybe later. You see, Jesus is describing what takes place when people who drink from him go out, and by the way, sometimes they don't even know it. Sometimes they don't even know that they're having that influence on others, that others around them are finding their thirsts quenched because of what is taking place in those people. And Jesus said that these words were spoken about the Spirit who had not yet been given. These words, whoever drinks from me, from his innermost being will come forth rivers of living water. These are what Jesus is speaking about, the Spirit. It hadn't been given yet. In the Gospel of John, that will take place after the resurrection of Jesus. After the resurrection of Jesus, he will appear to his disciples. They are surprised. They look at him. Jesus says, I love this. His very first words to them, peace be with you. And then, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then in the Gospel of John, Jesus leaned forward and he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, the whole church now, 100 and some people gathered together in an upper room. They're praying together. And they're praying because Jesus had told them to gather together and pray. It's weeks later now, and these people are gathering together and pray. And then there is this shaking, this violent shaking, and this wind that they suddenly hear. And then tongues like fire that come down and they land on the head of each person who's gathered around here. Don't you love that? Tongues like fire, because fire cleanses. And whatever fire touches, it spreads. And tongues like fire come down, and the entire community of Christians is filled with the Holy Spirit, and they go out now as people who have drunk deeply and who are also out to share. It's a wonderful story. Powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. When I was still in my 20s, 10 or so years ago, I went on a backpack trip in Oregon with my closest friend. We drove down the Columbia River Gorge, and we began the trail on, if I remember correctly, an 8-mile trek to this secluded lake that was way inland from the Columbia Gorge. We hadn't been gone very long, and the rains started coming down, and it rained, and it was cold rain. And we put our ponchos on, and we covered our packs, and we kept walking through the rain, and it was cold. And even though we were wearing our ponchos, the clothes that we were wearing began to get wet, and the stuff on our pack began to get wet. And our packs that started at 50 pounds were heavier before long, and we were trudging along 8 miles, carrying these incredibly heavy packs. It was one of the most tired days of my entire life. It was exhausting. And to make matters worse, as we're close to the finish, we're fording a stream, and my friend fell off a log and into the water, and we had to find a way to dry his clothes. It was a miserable and brutal day. And finally, we're getting close to the end of our trip. I'm so tired that I'm just staring at the ground right in front of me, just trudging along right behind my friend who's up in front of me. And all of a sudden, he started laughing. And it was one of these great big belly laughs. It was coming from his bones. Deep, deep, deep laughter. And I looked up to see what in the world he was laughing about. I said, Brant, what are you laughing at? And he pointed. And there was the lake that we had traveled all day long, hours and hours and hours. There it was in front of us finally. And on the other side of the lake was a parking lot. And there were cars parked in the parking lot with their campers. We had worked with a map that had been written before they put in the new road and the new parking lot. And the thing is that the road and the parking lot were there all the time, and we didn't know it. I believe that many Christian people live unaware of the Spirit. How is it that we're so deeply in tune with Christmas and we're so deeply in tune with Easter, but Pentecost can pass without even a notice? If it weren't for Pentecost, friends, there would be no church. And I believe that many of us live as though the Spirit is not even here. It is as though it is a mystery to us. We don't even know. Jesus said, if you who are compared to God evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will my Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks? It is as simple as asking and opening and welcoming and then living as though the Spirit is with us all the time because the Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the source of a peace that passes understanding. The Holy Spirit is the presence of the deep, deep, deep love of God. The Holy Spirit is the ongoing presence of Jesus with the church and all of its members. And forgive the redundancy here. The Holy Spirit is the present presence of Jesus. You see, we have the scriptures that remind us of where we come from. We can't do without them. We have the scriptures that remind us of what has happened to lead us to this moment. We have the scriptures that look forward to what will be finished in the end when Christ returns and completes his purposes. We have what has happened before, and we have what will happen in the future. The Spirit is what is happening right now. And the Spirit is the ongoing presence of Jesus with the church. The Spirit is the one who gives us a broadened perspective, a sense of spaciousness that is the opposite pole from narrow anxiousness. The Spirit is the source of the deep, deep, deep power of God. Now, when Jesus told his disciples, when he said to the crowd this day, "Whoever is thirsty," I want you to know that he was describing an ongoing thirsting when he said this. There's a way in the Greek language of saying whoever is thirsty as in this particular moment, and there's a way of saying whoever is thirsty as in an ongoing thirsting. And when he said, "Let them come to me and drink," he didn't use the word that would have been this particular moment. He used the word that meant an ongoing drinking. Let whoever is ongoingly thirsty continue coming to me ongoingly to drink. What do we do with all of this? If you have any doubt in your mind whether or not the Spirit is with you and in you, let me remind you of the words of Jesus: ask. It really is that simple. Ask. Invite his forgiveness, invite his presence, invite his power, invite the Spirit to live with you and in you. It is that simple. We then learn through the rest of our lives to practice the presence of the Spirit. I personally find that setting aside some time every day for quietness, for being present to the present moment, is crucial to learn how to listen to the still small voice of the Spirit who is always speaking. I find that it's extremely helpful to several times throughout the day stop and smell the roses. Just stop whatever it is that I'm doing, look up, take a deep breath, remember the Spirit's presence within me, and be present to the present moment. I believe that there's a deep, deep, deep thirsting today, and I believe that there's a deep and powerful and real and authentic source of water. What is required of us is to learn how to drink. Would you pray with me, please? We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have not left us alone, but that the Holy Spirit is your ongoing presence with the church and your people. Help us, even in this moment, to know how to cooperate with the work of your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said together, amen.
This is our moment then to respond.